praise God. We want to invite the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. To be manifest in this service and among all who are here. We want the presence of the Lord to be manifest. God, we're blessed today. Hallelujah. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, for just allowing us to know you and to experience you. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Thank you, Lord, for not giving up on us when we thought to give up on ourselves and to give up because of pressure life. God, you sent a word. You made a way. You sent a provision. God, thank you for being so good to all of us. We're here by your grace. We're here by the grace of God. And Lord, we're not perhaps where we want to be or desire to be. Amen. So therefore, we're continuing to walk and to conduct our life in progress. Amen. Knowing that, as the word states, our steps are ordered of the Lord. Help us to find order today. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I do love the Lord, and I believe he loves me. God bless you. You may be seated. Want to turn your attention to the book of Genesis, chapter 13. I on my personal Bible, but I'm using one of my daughter's Bibles. She has several with her name written in it. So Genesis chapter number 13, we'll begin reading verse number 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had. And Lot went with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land, verse 6 says, the land was not able to bear them. The land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And verse 7 says, and there was a strife. Everybody say strife. There was a strife between them, or between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. Everybody say strife. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And I don't think that the Canaanites and the Perizzites were their allies. I don't believe so. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee. Can you just pause a moment? Just pause. I want to get that fan. It's whistling, making a loud noise, and I can tell it's distracting. Is that better? All right. Okay. We're just wanting to communicate here without distraction. Verse number 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. And then he says, for we are brethren. Everybody say, for we are brethren. All right. And the story goes on. in verse number 9. And he says, this is Abram, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And of course, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. And so we see the character of Abram displayed in this story. Abram was the elder, and he had every right to do what he wanted to do and to go wherever he wanted to go. But yet he gave first choice to his nephew Lot, and he preferred his brother. And I say again, even though Abram was the elder, he had the highest rank, he was considered the chief, he was the father figure, but yet he humbly gave the freedom to his younger, his spiritual subordinate, if you want to say it that way, but he didn't see him that way. But he gave liberty to Lot to choose where he wanted to go and which direction to go. And everyone say, that's character. And so I want to talk for a little while today about strife. Everybody say strife. I don't want to make anyone nervous, but we want to give some detail and definition as to what strife is, and hopefully help us understand what the end of strife will be, the destruction, the consequence of strife. So let's pray one more time, can we? Because I feel we need to open our hearts to the word of the Lord, and it's important that we let God talk to us. Amen. A lot of times in prayer, we like to do all the talking. Isn't that right? We like to do all the talking. But this is a time to listen and to pay attention and to receive the word of the Lord. So let's just pray once again. Father, I'm asking you to help me, Lord, to be in tune, to be attentive, to look, Lord, and listen for the word of the Lord. I open my mind and my spirit. I subject my will and my nature to the will of God and to the word of God. Help me to receive it and to put it in my heart, Lord, that I may not sin against you. Bless your people with your presence today. In Jesus' name, everyone say amen. So our subject today is strife, understanding strife, and in conclusion of the lesson, we will see, or at least begin to see, how we should combat strife. Excuse me. When we read the story, as we have just read, we find out that Abram was a God-fearing man. He was a peaceable man. And the Bible does say in the New Testament that blessed are the peacemakers. What's the rest? For they shall be called. Is it the children of God? Okay. Yeah, I need some help. But we see that Abram was a God-fearing man. He was a peaceable man, and obviously he loved his family. He loved his family. And of course, he demonstrated his peaceableness, if you could say it that way, and his love for his family. And he did not want strife to remain in his family. Apparently, he had an inkling to the enduring effect that strife could have in his family. And perhaps he had a degree of wisdom, and he was using that wisdom at this time. And as I've said before, even though Abram was the eldest, he was the chiefest, he had the right to go where he wanted to go and do as he pleased, he generously encouraged Lot to take first choice as far as which direction to go, where to go, what land would be his, and so forth. And the Bible says concerning strife in Proverbs 15 and 18, it says a wrathful man, which means a hot-tempered man. Have you ever met a hot-tempered man? Now, my dad is the epitome of a wrathful man. At least he was at one time. I think God has tempered him. But I remember years past, you know, years gone by, he was very, very hot-tempered, and he would actually start a fight, and he spoke what was on his mind. And I hope you don't mind me telling this, but one day we were sitting in McDonald's, and you know, that was the highlight of our week at that time. And we were sitting there eating, and a man drove up in a new truck and parked right beside Dad's 1969 Torino GT with a high-performance 390, you know, original paint, you know, the colors and the pinstripes and the wheels. Just a beautiful car. And this man drove up, and he opened his car door, his truck door, and he hit my dad's 1969 Torino GT. And I don't know, he probably didn't even crack the paint, because those cars were built really tough. And my dad saw that. He was furious. And the man came in, and for some reason, the man changed his mind and went back out to his vehicle. I guess he decided that McDonald's wasn't going to work for him, or maybe he forgot his wallet. But anyway, he went and he got back into his car and his truck, and as he opened the door, he hit Dad's car again. And we knew that Dad was hot-tempered. My dad flew out of that McDonald's, and he hurriedly went to that man's truck, and before that man could pull off, Dad was talking to him through the window. And the man rolled his window down, and I didn't hear, I'm glad, I didn't hear what was said. But a few seconds went by, and I watched my dad as he not only began to have dialogue with this man, but he took his knee and kneed his truck door in, a big, just big indent in the man's truck, and the man looked at it, rolled his window up, and drove off. So I'm just making a point. A wrathful man or a hot-tempered man stirreth up or engages in strife. But he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Proverbs 16:28 says, a froward or froward, and what that means is perverse, a perverse man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. And Proverbs goes on in 17 and 1 and says, better is a dry morsel and quietness or peace therewith than a house full of sacrifices or feastings with strife. Everybody say, strife is not good. And Luke 22 and 24, there is a dispute among the disciples as to who would be the chiefest. And obviously they were comparing themselves among themselves, and they were trying to decide who would be the top dog, who would be the leader, who would be the chief among them, and kind of get everybody, you know, in their place, in their rank, in their order, as they felt it should be. And of course, Jesus quickly rebuked them and dealt with them and began to talk with them. And he said something like this. He said, and I'm trying to remember the words. He said, you know, what's better? Is it better to sit at the table and be fed? Or is it better to feed or serve the one who is sitting at the table? And then he answered, he said, well, it's better to be the one sitting down and having people serve you. And of course, Jesus had every right to say that. In fact, Jesus being the King of kings and the Lord of lords, could have demanded that people come and serve him and wash his feet and bless him and bring gifts. But Jesus said that I am not among you as one who sitteth at meat, but I am among you as one who serves. And he said, the Gentiles have this problem. You know, they have their lords and their governors, and they like to rule and exercise lordship and pride themselves in their rank and in their authority. He said, but I am not that way. Although Jesus had every right to pull out his card and say, yes, I'm the chief. I am the top dog. But he didn't use that. He disregarded his own status. He humbled himself and served the lowly. He condescended. He stooped to minister and to serve others. And of course, Jesus is our example. Everybody say, he's our example. You know, when I look at this story in Luke 22 and 24, it's kind of like kids, like a room full of kids, you know, kids of different ages, and they're always competing. How many knows what I'm talking about? You know, even in a classroom, there's all this strife and all this contention, and they're competing, you know, to see who can be first in line. And who gets to be the teacher's pet? And so there's strife, especially among children. Everybody say children. And so Jesus was dealing with, even though they were grown men, but on a mature level, they were children. And they had strife and contention among themselves. And strife is the act of contention. It's quarreling. It's arguing. It's a conflict or dissension. To strive is to contend or struggle for superiority. To get your way. To have the last word. How many, honestly, has ever seen or met someone, or you know someone, or maybe you're like that? You just got to get in the last word. Before we leave, I've got to... They've got to know that I'm right. Huh? Yeah. I've done it. Of course, the Lord began to deal with me. I had a lot of zeal, but I wasn't using wisdom. Because of my pride, see, religious pride is a big hindrance among us. Religious pride, and I just use that term. We can be proud of our Pentecostalism, our apostolicism, and of course, you can be filled with the Spirit, have the anointing of God abiding in you, but yet be full of pride and be governed by the human will and the human nature, the fleshly or the carnal man. You can actually be filled with the Holy Ghost, anointed, have a gifted ministry, and go on for years, literally. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. But yet when you look at yourself through the eyes of the Lord as he measures maturity, you can go forever and do great works, but still be spiritually immature because there's a lack of the fruit of the Spirit. You're still governed by your will, your nature, your mind, your attitude. And so that's just reality. No wonder Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to deny yourself. Because self is where lust is. Self is where pride is. And of course, strife is rooted in pride. And how many has ever noticed pride in your own life? It's there. It's there. It's in our nature. It's in human nature. And you know, we can't just blame everything on the devil. Oh, the devil rose up. No, that was your human nature that rose up. So some things you have to fuel and other things you have to starve. And if you'll fuel the faith and the passion of the new man and starve the old man and the carnal man and the prideful man, then guess which one's going to win? Guess which one's going to have victory? The one you feed. The one you starve is going to die. Is that right? If you starve it long enough, it's going to die. Now, it may fight back for a while. It may fight back for a while, but just keep on starving it. And sooner or later, it'll be dead, paralyzed. And so that can be a reality in our Christian life. And I wrote this last night. I was typing some things on my little iPhone. I like this little iPhone. It's a pretty neat little gadget. And, you know, you have the Bible on here. You can transfer it to your notepad. And I really enjoy that, because you can be out praying somewhere and, you don't just, walk out or go to the bathroom with your Bible. I mean, especially someone else's bathroom, a public bathroom. But you normally have your phone with you, and you just break out your phone and you get a word, and something's on your mind and you want to look at the scripture. And so, but anyway, I appreciate my iPhone. Hallelujah. That it's usually people who are, now this is my observation and also from what I have learned from the scripture, it's usually people who are angry. And I'm going to say this slow. I don't want to just speed through this. But it's usually people who are angry, who are insecure, who are selfish. I'm being slow for a reason, because I want you to absorb this. People who are jealous, people who are greedy, and people who are envious. It's these types or these attitudes that usually engage in strife. The angry, the insecure, the selfish, the jealous, the greedy, and the envious. And listen, I've said this before, but I want you to understand this. You can be anointed and yet still be governed by flesh, and the works of the flesh could be dominating your life. In fact, Saul, King Saul of old, was anointed, but he was governed and sensitive to his flesh, his mind, his idea, his agenda, his will. Saul was all about his kingdom, his own kingdom. Saul was about his fame, his platform, his recognition. But David was about his fame, his glory, his kingdom, his name, his house, his will, his agenda, his holiness, his way, which is higher than our ways. And so we see the difference. You can let God influence you in your everyday life, or you can be governed by your own humanity for the rest of your life and still call yourself a Christian. The Bible mentions that because of envy, everybody say envy, and I'm not going to give a lot of detail, but I have read this and I've seen it, that envy, because of envy, the Bible says, there are certain people, and we just call them religious people, people who have been in the way a long time, and they know the way, and they know a lot of other things. But it was this group of people that, because of envy, they sought to get rid of Jesus. They sought to kill Jesus and to crucify him. And the Bible says it was because they were envious. And envy, even today, still seeks to kill and to silence another. Everybody say envy. And James 3:16 says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But let me make this statement. Any of us here today, we are capable of acting out in strife. That's exactly right. Any of us, we are capable of acting out in strife. And of course, I've noticed and I've come to realize that strife normally surfaces when we are discontent. Think about it. You ever been discontent? Discontented? But the Bible teaches that we can learn how to be content. So when you're discontented, you're likely to act out in strife. When you're dissatisfied, or when you are unfulfilled, when you feel like you're unfulfilled, you can act out in strife. When you walk after the flesh, when you're self-seeking. In fact, I used to get mad. I don't quite so often. But I remember, you know, the whole battle between flesh and spirit. Perhaps the Lord was wanting me to spend more time with him, but yet I wanted to go do what I wanted to do. I wanted to go, and of course, you know, I love fishing. I love hunting. I love the outdoors. I'm not much of a bird watcher, except through a scope. But there's been times where I just wanted to do my thing. You know, I've been doing this all week. I've been praying, teaching, ministering, you know, counseling, taking phone calls, visiting. I want to do what I want to do, and I want to do it now. I want to go snorkeling. I want to go fishing. And there's nothing wrong with that. And occasionally, I do get the opportunity. Brother Robert James and I are going to get together real soon. I'm going to show him the tricks to the trade. Hopefully, we'll get some fish, and we'll have a fish party. What do you call it? A fish fry. There you go. But I do recall times where the Lord was dealing with me, perhaps to maybe spend some time with him or just maybe rest. You know, the Lord may speak a word of wisdom to you, and it may be rest. One word, rest. Because he knows your tomorrow. In fact, he knows what's going on inside of your body, your brain, your arteries, when you and I are not even aware. He knows you through and through. And he knows what's going to happen to you 2 years from now, 5 years from now, if you don't slow down and take time to rest. So a word of wisdom for somebody may be rest. Learn how to rest. I don't have time for sleep. You better make time. Because some things in your future may be taken away because of neglect. Here we go. Let's move forward. I didn't know I was going to say that, but anyway, let's go forward. You can be motivated by strife. And just because you are a Christian, you know, man or woman, you go to church, you pay your tithe, you obey the Lord to a certain extent, you still can be motivated by pride or by strife. motivated by strife. I guess you could say pride or strife. Strife comes from pride. And in fact, you can even preach. Seriously. And Paul taught this. He said some are preaching and their motivation is strife and contention. And so that's just a reality because of the human factor. That you can do things, you can be functional as far as church work and church activity and church ministry. You can be functional in the church business and yet be motivated by strife the whole time. Just trying to climb your spiritual ladder because of your ambition and your dream, not understanding God's dream. You see, there's a difference between a God idea and your idea. Now, God has a way of putting his idea in your spirit. He does. He has a way to do that. He's sovereign. But sometimes we do things of our own will, our own idea. And we can do so out of pride and strife. We can pray and have strife. We can preach and have strife. We can even fast. If you read the book of Isaiah, it talks about there was strife present there, even among fasting. You know, fasting for spiritual advantage and to kind of get on God's good list. But 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 24 and 25, if you'll turn there with me, I'm not going to keep you much longer. I don't have much time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 24 and 25. Are you there? We have it on the screen. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 24 and 25. And the Bible says, "And the servant of the Lord," and I want to emphasize that, servant. Everybody say servant. And notice I mentioned this earlier, that Jesus came to what? To serve, to minister. He was the chief, he was the king, he was Lord, he was God incarnate, but yet he said, "I came to serve. I've come to minister to you. I've come to help you." And so Paul is teaching Timothy, the young minister, pastor, perhaps even in a transitional period from pastor to bishop, and he is teaching that the servant of the Lord must not strive. Everybody say, must not strive. But be gentle. Everybody say, gentle. Now, that's hard for some people to do. It is. It's hard for some people based on your personality type, and it may be based on how you were raised or who you were raised by. That's just not, you know, you're just not that way. But the Bible says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in weakness, or in meekness. Everybody say meekness. Instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And the New Living Translation says, and the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. We like to avoid difficult people because they aggravate us. In fact, we say in our human nature, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for them. They're crazy. They're always bothering me. You know, that's what some of the ministry said when the man that came from Jericho and fell among thieves, he was stripped, he was beat. And it was the ministry that said, I really don't, you know, I have to go and preach over here. I really don't have time to minister to this broken person here. Well, God just dealt with me. Because I've done the same thing. I'm like, I've got a lesson to prepare. I've got to preach. I've got to get ready for tonight. But yet there's a dying soul over here. And I'm saying, I don't have time for difficult people and difficult situations. I got to go to my ministry. And the Lord is saying, what do you mean? That is your ministry. The captive, the bruised, the broken, the blind, the bound, the wounded, the hurt. He said, that is your ministry. And so hopefully that was a wake-up call to me. Somebody say amen. Strive hinders one from having a healthy relationship. It can separate friends. Strive can separate family members. In fact, if you have a house full of children, more than likely you have a house full of strife. I have four at home, and there's always strife. But somebody say the belt can drive it out of them. But that's very typical of children. But God wants us to grow up and to become mature in Christ and to become like Jesus Christ. Why would you want to be like Jesus? Because he said, I am meek and I am lowly. You know, when you look at Moses, we say he was the meekest man on earth. Yes, until Jesus came. And Jesus said, I am meek and I am lowly. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy here, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Stop arguing. Stop being filled with strife and contention. Because strife will separate friends and family and even church members. In fact, this is one of the things that Paul dealt with in the Corinthian church. They were powerful, powerful in the spirit, full of power, full of the gifts. They didn't come short in any of the gifts. But yet, Paul said, you are carnal, you're children, you're immature, and you need to grow up. And he said, I have some things to share with you, but you're not ready for them yet. Because you're still on milk. 20 years later, still on milk. 30 years later, should be teachers. He wasn't dealing with a pulpit either. He's dealing with the body of Christ. He said, you all should be teachers right now. You should be teaching. Everywhere you go, just teaching, demonstrating, declaring Christ. Telling them, sharing with them the wisdom. The Bible even says, walk in the wisdom of God. Toward them without, walk in wisdom. Walk in all wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So, and he is basically confronting the issue and rebuking them. And let me wind this thing up here. It's 10 till. Excuse me. Strife, as I said earlier, it will separate. It will divide. It will break down unity and harmony. And strife, it really is. It is a human issue. It is in the heart. It is in the human nature, the spirit. And, of course, it is perpetuated or propagated through our words and through our attitudes. Strife, I said before, is a byproduct or an expression of pride. Pride demands that we have the last word, that we're right. I've got to win. That's pride. You can be very zealous and full of pride. But the word teaches that strife will lead to destruction. You can read Proverbs 16 and 18. And of course, one who acts out in strife, especially on a continual basis, they lack wisdom. They lack humility and they lack self-control. But James chapter number 4, verse number 6 says, but he, everybody say he giveth more grace. Let's raise our hands for just a moment. And I want that to sink in. Because we've identified and we've given some definition and some examples as to what strife is and what strife can do. But we have hope. We have hope. For the Bible says he gives more grace. Grace. How many needs more grace? Oh, yeah. I'm sure your co-workers would agree that you need more grace. Perhaps members of your family would agree that you need more grace. And I want to be honest with myself. I need more grace. I need God's grace abounding in my life every day. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud. He opposes. And sometimes you think you're fighting a devil when you're actually being resisted by God. Now that may be a revelation for somebody. Sometimes you actually think that you're fighting devils when what you're actually experiencing is God is resisting you. God is opposing you because he sees pride there, and sometimes we don't recognize our own pride because pride has a way of blinding us. But God will resist the proud. Even though you're filled with the Spirit, you're gifted, and you have an effective ministry, and you can bring people to church, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Let's all stand. He gives grace, somebody say, to the humble. This is your homework. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. Is that okay? Is that all right? How many would be honest with me and just raise your hand and say, I'm going to try. I'm going to do my best to accept this challenge. You ready? Very good. Very good. This is your homework. James chapter number 4. Now, we don't just read through it and say, oh, yeah, I just got to do this. No, study. Apply your heart. James chapter 4 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Now, it's easy to do when we're in an environment like this, isn't it? Very easy to do. The presence of God, worship, preaching, conviction, prayer. It's easy to humble yourself for the moment. But James says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. In his presence, in his sight, in his eyes, you need to be humble. Not just in the eyes of man, but in the sight of the Lord. And he shall lift you up. He will raise you up. And it may take months and years for you to see your life being elevated, God lifting you up. Look at Joseph. Took years for him to be elevated, for him to be raised up. He was being conditioned. And this is the rest of your homework. Study meekness. Learn it. Understand it for yourself. Study meekness. Look at somebody and say, study meekness. Learn meekness. Jesus said, I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. Meekness would be considered the opposite attribute to one who has strife. Everybody say, meek is opposite. Say, I don't want to act out in strife. I want to be meek. And listen, you don't become meek just by reading the Bible. No. A work of the Spirit, a work of the Word, the Spirit of truth has got to work in your soul in order for you to become a meek individual. Why is meekness so important? Psalms 37:11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Everybody say, my homework is to humble myself in the sight of the Lord and to learn meekness. Let's raise our hands. Come on, just talk to the Lord in response to his word today. Hallelujah. My God, I need help. I need help. I need help with this pride. I need help with this strife. I need help with envy. I need help with jealousy. I need help with my insecurity. I need help with my attitude. Teach me how to humble myself in your sight. Teach me, Lord, how to become a meek man in your presence, God. In the name of the Lord, I receive your word, and I will study to show myself approved unto God. In Jesus' name. God bless you today, and thank you for being attentive. You can dismiss yourself for a few moments, get refreshed. We're going to start our main service here in just a few moments.